I announced this part of the show as that we would talk about kidnapped presidential candidates and Nobel Prize winners. But let's start with the beginning. There was a boat going from Cyprus to somewhere else. And that was hijacked. So let's. Could you explain what the plan was?
Yes. This was our eighth trip out of Cyprus. We are the Free Gaza Movement. And this is our eighth trip of sending boats to Gaza to try to break Israel's blockade of Gaza. We had gotten in successfully five times in 2008. And then during the war, during their Operation Cast Lead, they had rammed our boat called the Dignity while we were on the way. And this was our opportunity after about 5 months to go back, because Israel allegedly says that there's a ceasefire in Gaza. And we as a movement refused to accept the fact that Israel says they're in control of the waters of Gaza, and that's why we left. We took 21 human rights observers and a small boat, and we were going to go to Gaza.
Yeah, just for our listeners, you were planning to sail by boat from Cyprus to Gaza, so normally that's not possible?
No, it's never been possible.
So since when was the initiative last year, when was the last time that the goods were shipped from anywhere to the Gaza port?
60 years ago.
60 years ago, yeah.
Ever since Israel dispossessed the Palestinians and created the State of Israel, Gaza has either been occupied by Egypt, or it is now occupied, of course, by Israel.
Yeah.
So in terms of internationals coming in and boats being able to go into the port of Gaza, it's been 60 years.
So last year you successfully did that, so they didn't stop you. It was in August, I think, it was because we spoke to Paul Arudi last year. So that went well? There was no interference from the Israeli army?
They were kind of stuck. We had so much media attention that we were going to do this small band of humanitarian workers, human rights watchers, had these two small fishing boats that I don't think Israel knew what to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this supposed ceasefire between Gaza and Israel, so there was no reason for them to stop us.
Yeah.
Although they definitely threatened us many times. I think they thought that if we went and we got in, that we would all just go away and say, well, we did this the first time, and so therefore we broke the siege and we'll go away and go back to our lives.
Yeah.
But we didn't. So they didn't know what to do with us.
Yeah, they say it's enough now, and they stopped you. So they stopped the boats, I think December or January, and now again last week, right?
That's right. They boarded our boat on the 30th of June. I call them Israeli terrorist frogmen. They look like they're out of something out of an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. They boarded the boat with guns and with machine guns and pushed people onto the ground, pushed them into the cabin, and ordered the captain to sail the boat to the port of Ashdod. They tore the Greek flag off the back of the boat because they didn't want anybody knowing that they had actually hijacked the Greek boat.
No pictures with them and the Greek flag?
The Greek flag is gone. They pulled it off because they didn't want anyone to know. And the Greek government has already been so outraged that they have already contacted Israel and said they want their boat back.
Mm-hmm. So who owns the boat?
A Greek member of our Free Gaza Movement.
Uh-huh. So you mentioned, because what is interesting, of course, is, which waters, which part of the sea you're in. When we spoke a couple of days ago, you mentioned that the Israeli military told that this was Israeli territory, where they hijacked the boat.
Right.
Could you explain that?
What had happened? We have something on board the boat called the spot locator, and you can still see it on our webpage, and you can follow the boat as the boat comes down toward Gaza. So the coordinates that were all the way down, we were either in international waters or we were just getting into the waters of Gaza.
Yep.
Now, what the Israelis did is in the middle of the night, they rammed our communications. We had no communications whatsoever. The GPS was out. The spot locator was out. The phones were out. So the captain was going on a compass. And he's in the middle. It's the middle of the night. It's so dangerous. And he's working off a compass.
Yeah.
In order to make sure we stay in international waters.
That was that before the military, the divers got onto the boat?
That was before. They started harassing us at 1 o'clock in the morning on the 30th of June.
Okay, it was well planned in phase one and phase two. First,
that's right.
Yeah.
That's very well. And we heard something this morning that said that Israel said we were in Israel. We were actually in Israeli waters when they picked this up. And we talked to our captain, and he said, if we ever went into Israeli waters, we were pushed into them.
Uh-huh.
We were pushed into them because they surrounded us. At one time, there were 8 naval gunboats following our small little ferry. It's only about 22 meters long.
Yep.
So I think that what they were trying to do is push us into their waters or push us into the waters of Gaza and make it close enough so that those frogmen could actually get on board.
Yep.
It's dangerous if they're going to do it in the middle of the night. So they did wait until 3 o'clock in that afternoon. They literally followed us for 14 hours.
Uh-huh. Now, what about what was on the boat? First, the goods. It was not just people that you were carrying to Gaza.
We were carrying 3 tons of medicine. And we were carrying 20 olive trees. Look, this is a very small boat. The people of Gaza are perfectly capable of being able to rebuild their society if given the opportunity. So we are a human rights organization. We push the boundaries. So we were taking token supplies. We were taking cement. We were taking olive trees, wiring for 20 homes, small little kits that each home could take, that has things that you and I automatically have in our house, like hammers and nails and screwdrivers. They don't have any of those things in Gaza. And then we were taking crayons for children and coloring books and toys and balloons. And all of those things are banned by Israel. They're all banned by Israel. The 1.5 million people who live in the Gaza Strip aren't allowed to have any of those.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw a response of the Israeli military or the spokesman, and what he said was, this is not about about the people, this is political activism, because Israel does supply goods for Gaza, and the activists are not concerned about the population and the Hamas regime they're under. So what is your response to that?
Well, that seems to be their little recording that they trot out every time we go. Israel makes money on this occupation. Israel does not want anything to come in by sea because they make money on every truck that goes through their gate.
How does that? That's interesting. How does that work?
Because the aid agencies have to pay Israel a cut of anything that goes through. When the Israeli farmers, you have to think about this economically. People tend to think about this either politically or in a humanitarian way. This is an economic war against 1.5 million people. If we open up the sea route and we're able to take supplies into Gaza, then Israel and Egypt, because Egypt controls one of those crossings, they make no money on this. Israeli farmers, for example, sell their produce to the humanitarian organizations that then bring them into Gaza. Now, why would they need to do that? Well, it's because the Israeli military has burned down the olive trees of the farmers. They've burned down the wheat fields. They've burned down the fruit. They've made 1.5 million people so dependent on them.
Yeah,
the only way they can get anything in is if they either take it in as a humanitarian truckload, which then has to pay Israel, or they don't get any food. I think the last thing I need to make sure everybody understands, Israel goes on and on about sending 120 trucks in every single day to Gaza so that they are perfectly well fed. The people of Gaza need 500 trucks a day just for a subsistent level.
Yeah.
They shouldn't need to have any of that. They're perfectly capable of taking care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the economy is destroyed, and then they depend on the international community, which is then taxed by by Israel, basically.
That's right. Yeah. It's vicious.
Yeah.
The $4.5 billion that the world has promised to rebuild Gaza, just who do you think is going to get the biggest cut of that money? Israel is going to get the biggest cut of that money. And so if we come in by sea, they don't have any control over that. They had to stop us because we are, in fact, opening up a sea lane which makes the Gazans independent of Israel.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's move to the people on board. 21 who were taken off the boat and basically kidnapped. Who are they?
Yes. There were 21 that were kidnapped off the boat, including Cynthia McKinney, who is the former congresswoman from Georgia, Mairead McGuire, who is a Nobel Peace Laureate.
There were two. Yeah, let's talk about her, Cynthia McKinney, first. I think she used to be with the Democratic Party, is that right?
Yes.
But
she used to be with the Democrats.
Yeah, but she was a independent presidential candidate, I believe, in November.
Right. That's right, she was.
So what's her? What made her do something quite exceptional for an American? I would say.
I think that Cynthia McKinney is somebody who is very conscious of injustice. I mean, she comes from a people who had a huge injustice done to them, and she's a very brave woman because. The politicians in the United States tried to destroy her for standing up for the Palestinians. This has not been something she's done just this summer. She's been an advocate for justice for the Palestinians for many years. And that's not easy to do in the United States. I am an American, so I clearly know what America does to people who stand up and say, you cannot do this to the Palestinians. We Americans pay for this occupation. We pay Israel billions and billions of dollars to occupy another people and to do what I consider to be slow-motion genocide against them. Mm-hmm. So Cynthia McKinney is an extraordinarily brave woman, and she had been on the Dignity, the boat that was rammed, in December, and it just infuriated her, and she said, I'm coming back. So she's back.
Yeah. What about Mrs. McGuire? Who is she exactly? Because I didn't know her as a Nobel Prize laureate.
She won the Nobel Peace Prize, I think, in 1976.
Uh-huh.
She was one of the women who were granted that prize because they were effective in trying to get a treaty between the Catholics and the Protestants in Northern Ireland. And she is, again, a remarkable woman. And she essentially says that if you don't believe in justice for the Palestinians, then you don't believe in justice at all. Because the Palestinians have had an unjust occupation against them for 61 years. That's my entire lifetime. That's most of our entire lifetime. Wars come and go, and genocide happens. All of that's horrible. All of it's horrible. But the one constant in all of our lives, all of us who have been born since World War II, has been the injustice against the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm. Now, are they still in prison? Because they've all been shipped to an Israeli prison?
That's right. They have all still in prison. We talked to some of them this morning. The five young men and women from Bahrain were flown back to Bahrain yesterday. So there are still 14 of them in the Romney prison. They're in a 7 by 7 meter cell with 14 other people.
So 14 people are in the 7 by 7, 50 square meters, basically.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, Huwaida Araf, whom we spoke to, I think, in January or so, she's been released as well?
She's been released, and Lubna Marsawa have both been released. They hold Israeli citizenship.
Okay, they're Israeli-Palestinians, is that correct?
That's right, they're Israeli-Palestinians. So they can't be held, because what we think is going to happen is Israel is going to charge the other passengers with illegally entering Israel. I know it makes no sense.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense.
Uh-huh.
But you can't hold Huwaida and you can't hold Lubna because they are already Israeli citizens.
Yeah.
So the last that we know, the Israeli government came in and said, you have to sign this paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
And all 14 of them said, we're not signing anything that's in Hebrew. We don't know what it says.
Yeah. Now, what about the response? Some Palestinians and Arabs. I guess people in the West, they don't, it doesn't bother them too much. But on the other hand, a Nobel Prize laureate and a former presidential candidate and a member of Congress, I would expect some response from the US or Ireland. You mentioned Greece, but apart from that, what's the situation?
The Irish have been actually quite wonderful. There are two Irish people on board, Mairead and our first mate, Derek Graham, is also from Ireland. Mm-hmm. And the Irish, being the Irish, are quite outraged over this, and they've already put out several statements. The council has been to visit them. They're accusing Israel of kidnapping the two Irish people. The Americans have, the council has been there twice. But if you're expecting to get a comment from Obama or any of the members of the ruling party in the United States, it's not going to happen.
It's embarrassing, probably.
It's embarrassing. As an American, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, you have friends and you have bigger friends, I guess.
We do. Yeah. We do. The outpouring of support and outrage around the world, I mean, we are inundated with phone calls and media and people offering help. And I'm a firm believer that it's people that change the world. It's not government. Mm-hmm. And that these small little actions of resistance, ultimately, it's going to make a huge difference.
So what next? I can't imagine that they will stay in jail for, I don't know, months or years?
Realistically, Israel doesn't want them on their hands. They're making way too much noise. Cynthia just dictated a letter from an Israeli jail. It's called Letter from an Israeli Jail, which is very similar to what Martin Luther King did back in Birmingham back in the early 60s. So they bit off an awful lot. Believe me, when they took these two women in, Cynthia and Mairead, they bit off more than they could handle, the Israelis. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they want to get rid of us as fast as possible. They're talking about tomorrow. I believe that it may take longer because the activists who are there may not want to sign anything. I noticed in the Jerusalem Post today that Israel is now saying, well, maybe they don't have to sign anything. We'll just let them go.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned political response, but I was thinking of the media because I was just thinking of the British military, who got hijacked when they were supposedly entering Iranian territorial waters, what was it, 2-3 years ago? It was front page news everywhere. Now, it's not even military, it's civilians, and you don't hear that much about it.
No, if you choose a cause or you choose a project that is unpopular, you can almost guarantee that it's going to be only brave media that step up and report it.
Mm-hmm. But do you have an explanation for that? Why it's not popular? I mean, why would the people be more interested in a group of English being arrested than a group of Irish? It's more than just nationality of the people, or than the explanation for the lack of media response.
I don't think it's the nationality so much. I think it's very, very difficult since World War II. To advocate for the rights of the Palestinians. They were the sacrificial lamb. I call them the last victims of World War II. Mm-hmm. They ended up sacrificing everything in order for the Europeans to stop feeling guilty over what had happened and all the horrors that had happened to the Jewish population. Yeah. And, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. You can't dispossess one people in order to satisfy another one. And I think that it's been the big secret. I call it the elephant in the room. Nobody wants to talk about it. So if you sweep it under the rug or under the carpet, then perhaps it will go away. But the Palestinians are not going to go away.
Yeah.
They're not going to go away. There's 11,000 of them in jail right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
So I do think, by the way, that with the Internet and the alternative media and the younger generation, I do think that this is going to be resolved. I've been working for 40 years with this. This is the first time I'm hopeful.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Well, thank you for your explanation. Well, to close off the issue and the item, where can people find more information?
They can go to our website at www.freegaza.org. We are raising money to buy. We're not going to quit, by the way. So we're now raising money for a cargo ship and a bigger passenger boat. So we will take any donation that anybody would like to give to us, because we are going to go back.
Okay. Whatever happens with the first boat, you will take another one and try it again.
That's right. We will.
Okay. Well, very courageous, and good luck with it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.